right, time for another draftphysics.com. Debatephysics.com also. Video presentation. Yay. Anyway, comment, and then we'll talk about whatever, quantum erasering, whatever that is. Really don't get the whole concept of these. Well, I mean, it's all based on the assumptions of the Copenhagen interpretation and all that kind of stuff. And I don't really think that's, I don't think that's what's happening. So anyway, I'll go through what I think. I think I know, okay, on the subject. And so it's a draft video on polarization, I guess you could argue. Okay, so hello, thanks for this. I only ever heard quantum physics material being presented as known facts and was duped by it. Yes, they've drawn conclusions based on tiny amounts of information, and then they say this is the fact, the world, universe is expanding, you know, or something like that. And they say it as if they have a whole big pile of evidence, and then when you go look for it, it's only a little tiny bit of evidence. I'm curious how you dispel the quantum eraser experiment. I don't know if there's anything to dispel, okay? It's, again, what do you think's happening? You know, what do you think it proves or demonstrates? This is one where he uses polarizers. So again, that's what the guy just got the Nobel Prize for, Alan Aspect, was using polarization as a way of identifying a photon. And it's probably not a brilliant idea, frankly, to erase the which way information. So again, this all depends on you thinking there's a which way to be erased. But anyway, so we'll go to that video, which should be right here. Alright, so I guess I'll talk about polarization first, and then we'll play the video, because that would be the rational context, I think. Alright, so photon. So the argument is that a photon isn't some simple thing. I mean, it isn't, well, their drawing isn't very simple, right? That it has a two elements to it, right? And so by their understanding, I guess they say the electrical element is the polarization. But just for simplicity, let's just say a photon has to have a certain length, right? So it has a length that contains the frequency. And so it says, let's just say it has to have three elements, and this is the wavelength, is the distance, all right? So if you want to think it's a wave, this would be the one piece of the wave, another piece of the wave, another piece of the wave. And the point is in there are different locations in space. They're not traveling in some kind of straight line, and so that's the polarization, okay? It's the out of alignment they are, the out of parallel. So one is going this way, one is going this way, one is going this way, kind of thing. And that's its polarization, the alignment of its creation. So let's just say it was created by atoms. Let's say a row of atoms, and that the row of atoms pushed an electron and pushed an electron and pushed an electron at a certain timed interval, and that's how the photon was created, so to speak. That's how you got these bits of energy at this specific frequency. So the electrons are constantly vibrating at an infrared frequency, and they can be provoked to vibrate faster than that, and that would be a visible photon, something like that. All right, so a polarizing filter. So we already know that, okay, the slit thing, surfaces, cause light to bend, okay, to go these different fringe directions, to create fringes. And that, because of the change in the distance between the photons, that is the photon from one surface, you know, as point sources, and the photon from the other surface have a different path length, which interrupts the frequency, breaks it. All right, and so then the photon isn't visible anymore because it doesn't have this consistent time between events. And that's what the atoms on the receiving end need, is a consistent time between the events. All right. So another way of polarizing, okay, this is what I would argue, the difference between a diffraction gradient, which is a whole bunch of of things, surfaces, that cause the light to be bent, okay, by the electrons. The difference between a diffraction gradient, okay, and a polarizing filter is, yes, the number of lines. The filter, polarizing filter, has more, but there's really a difference in the sense that the idea isn't to diffract or spread the light. The idea is just to change this, to change the sequence of the events. So the polarizer is like a half phase polarizer. So the idea is that the frequency comes in like this and it leaves like this. Okay, it leaves on a different timed cycle. So a polarizing film isn't made to diffract the light, to bend it. It's made to just change its polarization, its alignment in time. So the idea is that it's a film, okay, a layer, okay, that this causes a one-half shift in the phase, and then they put a second layer on top, okay, that is the bars, the lines, the things that are going to cause the effect. So, and the idea is that it's not making, the light isn't getting bent, okay, it's only a tiny fraction if it is, and it's not the part you're caring about, right? The fringe light in the single slit is a small percentage of the total light. And the same idea would be true here. So some light might be being bent, but the key truth is that this is another half phase filter. So you're, some places you change the polarization. So here's the phase, okay? So it goes through here, the phase is this. It goes through here, then the phase is this. And you can get the idea that it goes back to being lined up. I didn't draw that very well, but you get the idea, I hope. It's just one line out, right? So this one should have been here. Well, you can't barely see that anyway. I got a shadow in there for some reason. Strange. Why the hell is the shadow there? Well, whatever. Can't do much about it now. Anyway, yeah. So a polarizer is a little, it's, you know, you have to know, first know what the stupid polarizing film is actually doing before you can draw conclusions about the experiment. So anyway, here's the experiment. So you have a laser. All right, and now you put it through a double slit. All right, you get the pattern. So you're creating, you can't really, you know, well, I'll try to explain what the guy's doing. So he takes that pattern and he puts another filter in front of it. Now the idea of putting the filter in front of it's a little tricky. So he has it, the polarizing film gone both ways. So he has it going on one side, these layers of these lines of double, okay, are going this way, and on the other side they're going this way. All right, so all the light, you know, there's, you could just turn that into a checkerboard if you were gonna, you know, and you'd say there's little tiny holes where there should be no effect because it's going through the little holes, but the little holes really means two layers. Yeah. There's no hole, really. There's a, you get half phase shift or whole phase shift, you know. Anyway, all right, so this one's going this way, this one's going this way. And that's supposed to be doing your which way thing. Now, what I'm arguing is that there's no which way experiment here. The photon doesn't take one path or the other path. The photon is made of pieces that come from both paths. So the understanding would be is that if you had a slit, what you're doing is you're taking a photon, goes through, you know, with three elements, and one element goes over here. And then a photon over here goes in with three elements, and two elements go over here. So you're making the new photon out of pieces of photons that go to both surfaces. So one piece needs to be bent this way, and a piece needs to be bent there before you can make a photon. And that's the ones that the pieces. So the surfaces essentially break the continuity of the photon, but the elements are still there. None of them are destroyed. So they're still in the, they're still being, there's the, you know, the same light that goes in here is the same light that comes out here. Even though we are seeing less of it, it's actually still there. It's just broken pieces of it. And all you're saying is where can we put some of that back together? And so the polarizer is just doing some of that. It's taking photons that you would see, and it's eliminating them. So if I just had one polarizing film in one direction, all the light that was perfectly polarized in that direction would be eliminated. And, you know, light that's a little bit off, you know, starts being visible. So you're really only eliminating one. You're only entirely eliminating, or by a high percentage, one kind of light. So that's why polarized glasses work, is that the sunlight that reflects this glare is always polarized, let's say, horizontal to your position to the sun. And so that filter can block, you know, the glare light. But if it's a little off, and a little further off, and a little further, it can be pretty far here, and it's still going to have a pretty good 70% chance of getting through. So it's only really blocking the one kind. But it does block a lot of light, so you are killing, you know, one third of the total number of photons that you'll be able to see, because even regular surfaces are creating photons that are polarized the same way as the glare, so you're also eliminating those. And that's why the sunglasses are darker. All right. Yeah. All right. So then what he does is, so this changes the slit pattern. Okay, having these two filters affects the pattern. Now, in the video, it's going to affect it by eliminating the fringes, but there's still the center maxima, which is kind of strange, because if you're going to eliminate the other fringes, you should have eliminated the center maxima. So what it's really doing is just reducing the light enough to make the fringe invisible. All right, and he doesn't light the experiment very well, so, you know, that's another factor. You know, it's not dark enough to see what is still actually getting to the target. And then the claim is he puts a quarter filter, that is a filter put diagonally to these two filters in front of it, and he gets back some of the details. And what you're really just talking about is that the other filter is just going to undo what the first filter did. So the light doesn't get blocked by the filters, it only gets changed by the filters. And it's not being changed in terms of its direction, it's being changed in terms of its polarization. I mean, it's the sequence, the phase. So these are really phase changers. So a polarizing film shouldn't be talking about changing the polarization, because it's really changing the phase of light of a certain polarization. So if the light has, if its orientation is this way, its polarization, its phase gets changed. There's a higher likelihood of a phase change. And if it's polarized this way, there's less likelihood of a phase change, would be the argument. All right, that's probably enough. But it's a little more complicated than just saying this is what the filter does, this is what it's, we can draw a conclusion about what happened to the photons as they went through the experiment. It's just not that simple. All right, so I need this back. And it didn't show up, so I'll take a pause. All right, so let's play the video.
Hi, in this video I will demonstrate.
I spent 15 years of my career trying to create the
double slit quantum eraser experiment using very, very basic stuff. So first of all, I have here a green laser pointer. So the laser pointer shoots to a razor blade. The razor blade here acts as a double slit. In fact,
it's not a very good. All right. I mean, they're diagonally positioned surfaces, which isn't ideal. Okay, so it's not exactly an ideal way to create the pattern to say which way, because you're creating a lot more sources. You know, there could be 6 or 10 sources here.
It's a quadruple slit because I'm using 4 blades, razor blade. So it goes through this. I use a little ruler here that allows me to rotate that thing with more precision. And then it goes maybe, I don't know, 6, 12, maybe 15 feet. And it goes here.
All right, so again, the lighting is not very good, right? You should really have the lights off here to really see what's happening. Because you're really creating a compound, you know, this is getting more compound because you're really starting to create the dots. You know, when you have a diffraction gradient, you're going to start migrating the light further and further out, and you'll have, you know, a dot in the center and a dot in another location and a dot in another location. But anyway, it does look like a pretty good double slit-ish pattern anyway. All right, so it's clearly the small surfaces are creating very small little lines, and you know, the far away, the furthest away sources are providing the little tiny lines, and then the big lines are being created by the smaller spacing. All right, so let's move on.
And as you can see, we have first the diffraction pattern. So the diffraction pattern is basically...
All right, so there's no diffraction pattern. So I can, again, I can quote Professor Lewin saying there's no diffraction pattern. It's interference in both cases. There's no difference between the single slit physical mechanism and the double slit physical mechanism. It's the same cause of the effect. So it's just kind of bullshit to talk about a diffraction pattern versus a interference pattern. There's no distinction.
This large space, large part here.
So that's the single slit pattern, okay? And then you have the double slit bars inside of the single slit pattern. And it's all you're really saying is the two outside surfaces, there's lots of wavelengths of difference between the two lines, lots of places where you have a wavelength of difference. Two narrow or close point sources, then there's fewer differences. So the places, anyway, I've already said it.
Then the other part here and here and all the other, you don't see it very well on camera. But like the large part here, here, and the next one, and this thing here, is caused by the diffraction pattern.
And then, so again, there's no logic to this, you know. Why would the diffraction pattern different than the other pattern? There's no difference in how it's created.
We see very, very little dots, space dots. This is the interference pattern that we can clearly see.
So all of it is created by sources. That's the idea to understand. So each surface becomes a source. And the sources are all producing light, okay, pieces of a photon. And the question are the pieces in phase from the sources, or are they out of phase? If they're out of phase, you don't get many complete photons, because you don't have as many pieces in phase. And where there's pieces in phase, then you get light, you get more photons. So you have a higher probability of creating a photon when the pieces are in phase. When the pieces are out of phase, there's less probability.
Right here, so we have the interference pattern within the diffraction pattern. So now,
and you can sort of clearly see that the spots with light are much bigger than the spots that are supposed to be dark, indicating that it's just true that, yes, you're just really saying what's the probability of a photon, and the probability just, you know, there's no such thing as a negative probability.
What I will do, I have little, this, here I have an eraser with just something that all...
So this is all part of the boring part, but I have to throw it in.
It holds two... You see, it's I scotch taped two linear polarizers.
So the problem with scotch taping is that's another thin layer, and every layer you put on something can potentially create another shift in the polarization. So that's why they put thin films on glasses, is because it changes the phase, okay, not the polarization, it changes the phase of the photons going through. So every layer has the potential to create a half switch in the phase. Again, you want them to line up, okay? To create a photon, you're basically saying, I'm going to use this piece, and then I'm going to add this piece, and I'm going to create a new piece that looks coherent. And if it's this way, you can't do it. You can't make another photon of the right frequency, because it's essentially jammed, you could argue, but it's broken still. You need it to line up so you hit the surface with the consistent frequency of red light or green light or whatever light it is.
And just to prove it to you, if I use this thing here, this is a linear polarizer, so just to show you it works. If I look into this thing here and I put a linear polarizer behind it, you see one becomes black. What you see, by the way, is the
reflection. Yeah, well, so what, yes, the little line is the reflection of the carpet, but yes, the point is yes, so when you have them both crisscross, you've essentially now, because the photons are polarized, none of them can get through without getting broken, okay? Because if they're going this way, they're going to hit the bars. If they're going this way, they're going to hit bars. They can't escape hitting bars. But that's essentially what you're doing when you put it there. And when the other one's lined up in the same direction, well, yes, that's okay. You get a lot more light, can get through. All the light that's polarized this way gets through just fine.
Reflection. You see my carpet reflection. I'll try to move the camera. So you see, up. Reflection. And if I turn it, then it's the opposite.
So they're really good films, because you can, well, in the other case, you could see that it's very transparent. Now, this one isn't quite as transparent as the other side seemed to be, but
it
might be because it's at a little bit of an angle. So it didn't work as well one way as it worked the other way, but that's probably a minor detail.
So these two are perpendicular, linear polarizer. Okay, so now what I will do, I will add this thing right in front of the double slit.
So this is the tricky part. There's no right in front, okay? I mean, you know, these things are all producing light, and to create the pattern from the two slit, it's obviously spreading the light. So where you're putting it, you know, when it's already started to spread out here, you're, you know, so it's a little tricky to find the right place to put it. So it's not exactly at the origin.
Basically, the idea here is to mark the which way information, some of it. So some photons that will go through a slit on the left here have more chance to go on the left, through the left polarizer, and the ones to the right slit through the right.
So the fact is that's not going to happen. So if I guess I'll draw it. Okay. Pause. All right, so see the trick of it. This, you know, there's a, you know, it's hard to draw any of this to the actual proportions of the actual real world, but the idea is you're taking a component from here, okay, and you're going to have a target that's pretty far away. So these angles aren't going to be very big, but they're going to exist as angles, and you're really saying, okay, there's a piece of the photon is going to come from this surface, a piece is going to come from this surface, and now he wants to put something in between this event to try to cause, all right, the effect that one side gets polarized and the other side doesn't. But obviously if he has the polarizer out here, okay, that's not going to work, because it's already bent past the middle. So I don't know how, there's just no way to draw this to proportion. So there's no way to really get the idea that this one's already on the wrong side. So it's already going through this polarizer. Okay, mm-hmm. It's not going to be able to get through this polarizer. Because the fact is, he's not on the surface of where the photons are coming out. He's not close enough. So any distance here between this polarizer and these openings is going to sort of mean that some level of light is, both sides are going to go through the same polarizer. He's not ensuring that anything on this side of the line goes through this polarizer and anything on this side of the line goes through this polarizer. He hasn't guaranteed that because the crisscross is a millimeter. I mean, it's a tiny little space here, okay, where the crisscross is happening is this little tiny space. He's putting these things out here, okay, and the crisscross already happened. And they already crossed, and they're both going in the same direction. They're both off the center line. They're already both on this side of the line. So both are going through the one filter. So, you know, that's just a mistake in theory, I would argue. And so we will put this back and continue.
Right polarizer. So put it this way. I will try to adjust the thing on the wall there so it works. I'm sorry. It's pretty hard to film at the same time.
So you can't really see it. There is like a hard line between the two pieces of cut film. I mean, the whole thing is a little bit dodgy. And then they're not exactly parallel, you know, and so that's not good either, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, let's see. Make it very close. Let's say it's good. I'll go see. Okay, now that I added this,
Right, so he's clearly blocked half of these fringes seem gone. You can still see this one, you can't see this one at all, but it would help if he had the light changed. And yes, while these dots aren't as clear, they're still there. You can still see the idea of exactly what the size, if I was to guess by looking at it, I can still guess the size of the small bars. So it's still there. The information is basically all still there, and all he's done is degrade it. He's taken away some of the photons. He has successfully broken some of them, some more of them, but he really hasn't changed anything.
Only see the middle part of the diffraction pattern, but as you can see, there's no little dots in it anymore.
Yeah, well, you can see that there really are, but regardless, they're just not as clear.
No little dots in it anymore. This is because we marked the photons with the which way information. And now,
so whatever the which way information, they both sources have to make a contribution. Obviously, if you change the polarization of the light, so you know one side is producing light going this way and one side is producing light polarized this way, right? That you have a higher or lesser probability of making a photon. But that's it. You haven't changed anything else. You're just creating less likelihood of providing a photon at the surface, remaking one.
To end the experiment, I will just add the same kind of polarizer, but at 45 degrees. So I will.
So the trick would be to put it in at, you know, this way, and then try it this way and see if one side or the other side gets brighter, you know, that you're remaking some photons. Now, for whatever reason, he must have probably done it that way, and he thought that wasn't interesting. So he's doing the put it in diagonally thing, which is just restoring half of the photons. So half of the photons that were messed up by one of the filter, 25%. 25% of the ones going this way are going to be reclamated by the quarter filter, and then 25% going this way are going to be reclamated by the quarter filter, you could argue. And it's not really 25%, it's more like 22% or whatever.
Thing here, it's a shooter cup holder, physically.
So it's just fixing some of the photons that were broken. That is, some of the ones that were taken and put out of phase are now going to go through another phase change, and they're going to be restored back to the phase of the original photons. So he's just putting another phase shifter in that will change the phases of whatever, 15% of the photons going this way and 15% of the photons going this way will now be restored to the proper phase.
What we do here, the laser goes through the slits. The slits are marked with my scotch taped linear polarizer at 90 degrees and zero.
Okay, the tape is at the bottom, so it doesn't have tape going through, so take away my one of my first criticisms. Okay, it's not another layer, so that's good. But clearly you have a big gap in between the two. It's not a very good fusing of the two polarizers. It's essentially creating new surfaces, so it is making a little bit of a mess.
Degrees, and then I erase that information using a 45.
And it's clearly not nearly close enough or perfect enough, because just think about how small this little dot is here on the polarizer, indicating how fine, okay, you have to be able to get the light going through one side or the other side, and that all of that happens right there on the surface. So there's very little likelihood that you've actually polarized all the light coming from one angle and all of the light from the other angle have actually gone through the right polarizer.
Degree. Polarizer. So now if we go back, since we erased the witch wind formation,
it's a little brighter, and yeah, so now you can see the dots a little better, and that's about all that really took place. And his camera isn't at a fixed exposure, and so that's why the image is but you know, he's probably seeing it more clearly than we see it. But the fact is all he did was restore some of the photons.
You can see the little dots again, which is the interference pattern of the double slit.
So they're both interference patterns, and so that whole concept is debatable of making any distinction between the phenomenon of the single slit and the double slit. Both experiments are doing exactly the same thing. All they're doing is creating sources, point sources. So the single slit has as the two source experiment, and the double slit is the four source experiment. And that's all you've changed. And so clearly the four source experiment is able to create two patterns. The two source experiment can't create two patterns. That's simple. All right.
Caused by the photons interfering with themselves. Yeah, so
so each time you put a filter in the way, you are degrading. I mean, obviously the filters, you know, aren't perfectly transparent, and you're losing photons, and you know, just a fact.
Just want to show you that you can do this at home. But very
You can do it sloppy and messy and not very precisely, and you can, you know, blah, 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 and you can draw some conclusions that, frankly, don't mean much.
Very basic stuff. And the thing I noticed, though, is that you need a lot of space. Like here, I'm at about 15 feet. So
The real trick is you need a good laser, and if the laser is too bright, you need film that can take the heat. So it really does get a little complicated, because I found that it's not too hard to start melting the film, okay, if you have enough laser to do the experiment and all that. So yes, there are complications.
It's fun. You can play with this razor blade, polarizer, film that cost pretty much nothing. I use an eraser.
Well, it doesn't cost nothing. I mean, yeah. I mean, I bought some and it was like $10 for not very much.
With a little needle and that cup holder and some tape. So have fun.
My name is Ella.
Alright, so enough of that. Alright. The commercials are so strange. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, okay, so, yeah, so I think that's enough of a video. So, yeah, it's whatever. This, you know, obviously the more complex experiments are using, you know, crystals instead of double slits. The idea is they won't admit it, but the crystal is essentially, you know, they send in ultraviolet light, they get two infrared crystals, you know, two red photons, something like that anyway. And what they won't admit is that those two photons are already oppositely polarized. They are already right and left-hand gloves. So, because the way you turn one photon into two photons is that you wobble an electron. And so when it goes this way, it's pushing energy. It's creating the dot, and it's creating the empty spot on the other side. And then when it goes this way, it creates the dot on this side, and it's making the empty space here. And then when it moves back this way, it's creating the dot on this side, and then it's the empty space on that side. So it's creating two out-of-phase Morse code signals. So you're not having two equal photons coming out of the experiment. You're having two photons coming out of the experiment that are oppositely out-of-phase. Okay, so they're not oppositely polarized. They're oppositely phased. And then when you put them through a polarizing filter, then you're switching the phase again. So it's really complicated because, again, polarization has to do with the alignment of the photon. And phase, okay, also has to do with the alignment because anything that changes the direction of the photon can change the phase. But, so yeah, just it's a little complicated. Polarization isn't explicitly about phase. It's only incidentally about phase. So they're really, the polarizing filters really are, they're polarization focused phase shifters. They shift the phase based on polarization. Yeah. More likely to phase shift in one orientation than in the other orientation. And so it's about phase shifting a particularly polarized light. It's not changing the polarization of the light. It's changing the phase of light polarized in a particular direction. So that's where it gets complicated. All right, so that's probably enough. And such, and so forth, and whatnot. Yeah, we'll call that a video. So, this has been the draftphysics.com, debatephysics.com also. But, nobody to debate. Nobody can do any of this argument-counter-argument thing with any effectiveness at all. This could be very interesting, right? If somebody would actually show up and do exactly what I'm doing, but do it in some sort of way of defending the conventional crapola. But we can't find somebody willing to defend the conventional crapola.